You're listening to
John and Scott on AKC's
Total Talk Nonsense.
I'm so fucking into you. It's incredible.
I wish I knew how to quit you. I wish I knew how to quit you. I wish I knew how to quit you. I wish I knew how to quit you.
Fuck you, I can do it.
Nope. Forgot to turn the mics on. Oh, boy.
All right, John, we're back.
This is
part 35. No, it's not. It's episode 35.
Episode 35, part 3.
Part 3.
The heavy metal episode.
It's always my favorite episode, John. The heavy metal episode.
Here with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And the music in the background is something I wrote myself. I think
you
I
wrote
stole
it down?
It. I didn't write it
like
down.
Like the notes
I just,
and
like,
stuff?
Came up and played it.
Came up. Yeah, you homo. Hey, so...
I didn't come out.
Before I rudely interrupted you,
yeah,
by having to release my bladder, you were telling a story at the end of part two, and I apologize profusely.
Yeah, I was telling the story that we went out to eat. Me, the wife, Rick, and Lynn. Rick, our guitar player and singer in Kangaroo Court. We went to this churrascaria, you know, one of those Brazilian carveries where they just keep bringing you meat, you know, steak and chicken. And
never been to one.
You've never been
no.
to one?
Oh, I've been to an Argentinian steakhouse, but never a Brazilian.
No, not even close. Well, these guys wear these gaucho pants and they got like these big swords in their hands and they come up to you with a spit. And there's chunks of meat on it that they slice off onto your plate. And you have like a little check that you flip over. And it's green on one side, red on the other. And on the, you know, if it's red, they don't bother you. But if it's green, they just hover all around you and keep, you know, slicing meat.
Slapping the meat down.
So it's, you know, I tell you, Scott, I've never had so much warm meat in my mouth in my life. It was heaven. It was nirvana.
Sounds like it.
But you get so full, and what really screws you up is you start off with like a salad bar, and the salad bar is gigantic. I mean, you could spend 20 minutes circling the salad bar before you finally get everything, you know, that's there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's soups and all this stuff. And then they bring another course out to you. It's like a sampler of shrimp and crab meat and stuff like that. And then... they start hitting you with the heavy duty shit. Oh yeah, they bring some fried bananas, and then they start hitting you with the meat.
Hey, save the fried bananas, man. Get to the meat.
Oh, okay. So they got everything. They got this butt steak, and they got sirloin and filet mignon, little chunks of filet mignon, and chunks of chicken wrapped in bacon, sausages, leg of lamb, rack of lamb. Prime rib, you name it, and they're just, and this shit's just flying off onto your plate, and you're eating it, and you're not realizing how full you're getting. And then towards the end, after you've drinking a bunch of mojitos and caipirinhas, you know, they're Brazilian drinks, you're pretty hammered, you drank some wine, and I think I might have had a martini. Then they bring out, and they want you to have dessert. So I go for the dessert. I have the cream, papaya cream. And the wife's like, you know, it's going to be overboard for you. I said, no, it's light. This shit's light. Literally, we leave, I get home, and I head right for the bed. I just cannot, my stomach is killing me. It's about to explode. And you know, meat takes a while to digest, you know.
Mm. So... well, they say that John Wayne died with 50 pounds of red meat in his intestines.
Come on.
Yeah. That's all he ate was steak.
Nice.
And they had to remove that from his colon.
Why? He was dead.
Well, for the, you know, they got to prep him for his funeral and the, you know, the open casket and all.
Oh, right.
And they don't want him smelling like rotted red meat.
So I don't know, I passed out at one point on the bed, and I woke up in this, like, stupor. I could barely walk. My calves were... I must not have drinking enough water or something.
What are we talking, 20 minutes later? An hour
no,
later?
No, like a couple hours
couple
later.
Hours?
This is like 1 in the morning now.
Mm-hmm.
I get up, and I'm like walking
You're
around.
You're fucked, man.
Yeah, I'm all screwed up. I walk into the bathroom, and I know I can't stand to take a piss, so I sit down.
I always sit down.
I sit down hard, right? You know, like my legs go out from underneath me, and I sit on one of my nuts. Square on one of my nuts. I thought I was going to pass out in the pain.
That's what will happen when they hang down to your ankles.
Holy crap, dude. I was like, I jumped off that goddamn thing, and I didn't quite make it to the fetal position. I landed back down on the seat.
Did you rupture your nut?
No.
Like Gary Fensick
no,
did?
No, because it like squeaked out. It was able, I didn't flatten it completely. You know, it kind of hit.
Oh, and then it pinched out.
It like shot out.
Like a BB.
Like, yeah. Ba-ding! Like a marble out of my knuckle. Oh, my God. All I could think of right there is you getting your vasectomy.
Vas.
I'm
with
like,
the needle.
Oh, that's got to be how that... I'm never getting one. I sat on one of my nuts. How do you do that? How do you sit on your nut?
I don't
but
know,
But I
man.
Did it.
Your sack must have been really relaxed.
It was relaxed, like...
It was, and warm.
It almost touched the water. I mean, it was, I almost teabagged the toilet water.
Well, John...
I sat right on it.
When we finished part two, and I apologize for... abruptly leaving, but I had to pee so bad. I peed so much, John, the toilet flushed itself. That's how much
Come on,
urine I had in my bladder, if you want to talk about potty stuff. But getting
potty
back to your...
stuff. Oh, my God.
But getting back to your nut, that reminds me, I don't know if it was Gary Fensick or Plank, Doug Plank, on some kickoff return... They were involved in...
He got, like, lost one or something.
Yeah, his ball was right... He had a cup on, and his ball wasn't inside the cup. It was right on the edge of the cup. And when he smashed his groin on the turf...
It was on the threshold of the cup.
It ruptured... The cup ruptured his testicle. Oh, my... Word, John. Was it any, see, but yours pinched out.
Yeah.
At some point. Fortunately.
Yeah.
It didn't flatten
no, no.
or rupture.
Did not flatten or rupture.
That would have been a good story, though. I wonder if you'd be telling that story like this. Yeah, so anyway, I got to tell you this story that happened to me over Christmas. You'll never believe it.
Yeah. It was great.
Well, how'd you do the next morning?
I was fine.
No
it was
problem.
Fine. Yeah, I took some aspirin and some Zantac, went back to bed. But I was messed up for like 3 days, you know, and it's the holidays, and I was already feeling crappy because I had this cold, and yeah, it was just, and the kids were puking, and...
From what? Stomach flu, or
yeah,
what was going on there?
Yeah, my daughter...
Both of them?
Yeah.
Oh.
Daughter woke up that night after I crushed my nut. She woke up at, I don't know, at some point and was firing puke all over the ceiling. She got some on the walls, her stuffed animals, the bed, the floor. And then a couple nights later, the son did the same thing.
Mm.
He hurled all over the place.
That's hot.
And his was like a chocolate brown
hurl.
Yeah.
Schmegma.
Actually, it was that night that he hurled. Because he woke up. He didn't wake me up. I just woke up and heard somebody in the bathroom. And I look at him and he's got both hands on the toilet seat and going, you all right, buddy? Yeah. I threw up. It was like, you know, chip off the old block. He just tied one on all night. He didn't wake anybody up. He puked this blackish brown shit all over his
tar,
room and just hung out in the John and just It was great.
Well, it's that time of year, John. It's a wonderful time.
Well,
of
the
year.
Daughter comes in, wakes us up. Not the son, man. He's like,
he's all man. That's right. Now, speaking of kids, John.
Oh, that almost made me throw up.
I've had some time off of work. You know, took a little vacation. The Christmas holidays through New Year's, and I've had the wonderful opportunity to spend every day with my kids. And there's a line in that movie that we both enjoy so much. It's a Wonderful Life.
I'm sorry, I don't speak Japanese.
Where Jimmy Stewart says at one point where he's all frustrated and, you know, the law's after him. And he comes home and he says, why did we have all these kids?
All these kids anyway.
And that's exactly how I felt today. And I only have two of them.
Come on.
He had what? He had four or five of them?
Oh, man.
Because don't remember, Zuzu was up in bed.
Zuzu's pedals.
I only have two of them, and that's what I was feeling like today. I'm like, I have to get out of the house.
You
cannot
have to keep
take
playing
it.
That song over and over again.
Oh, Daddy!
Why do we have to live in this drafty old house anyway?
So that's what I was feeling like today.
George Bailey. That's great. Well, what's the big... What, you can't handle... There's just two.
Yeah, there's just two of them, but...
You just gotta smack them around, dude.
Not... Yeah. I'll talk about that off air. Well, John, in related news, did you know that podcasting is a guy thing?
No.
Chances are, if you've recorded a podcast in the last year, the people listening in were men. In a survey in December by Podtrac, a company that aims to connect podcasters with advertisers, showed that 78% of those who have ever listened to podcasts are male, John.
That's because women can barely figure out how to work an iPod.
That's what I'm saying. Let's see what this article says, though. That pattern, blah, blah, blah. With podcasting just over a year old, the current maleness of the podcast audience's aggregate level is consistent with gender usage trends of the early web, said Mark McCray. Hey, can you speak English, you fuckhead?
Well, basically what they're saying is that in the early days of the web, it was just men too, because technically more IT people are men.
Well, thank you for translating that, John.
Well, look, I'm not coming down on women or anything. Like, I don't know jack shit about a sewing machine, you know.
Right.
Might not go
I hope
good.
Not.
You
the
know.
Online audio phenomenon is ringing bells with the ever wider audience, according to Podtrac's figures. One third of respondents were familiar with the term podcasting, as well as Smacktard. One third of those who are familiar have ever listened to a podcast, and 2 in 5 of those who have ever listened had done so in the preceding 7 days, John.
Hmm.
So there you have it. Mostly men.
Well,
but we have a couple of women listeners. We have a Daniela.
Yeah, but Scott, they could say the same thing about radio.
Radio.
And television.
Oh, that reminds me.
And anything.
Radio. Red Bar Radio?
Yeah.
Mike D?
Yeah.
He, anyway, claims, I don't know if this is, you know, we didn't vet this, but in one of his posts on Podcast Alley, he says, I'm out of this podcasting. He got a gig on radio.
Wow.
For some morning zoo.
Great.
So that's, congratulations to
Kudoid
Mike D.
To Mike D.
And that's because that's what he wanted. And his show was a morning zoo, so...
Pretty much. So he's doing what everybody else is doing on the radio.
Right. And when Howard Stern... I don't know if people in the UK or around the world know who Howard is, but Howard Stern left the airwaves. He's going to satellite. And the guy was in 26 markets.
Which it can be picked up worldwide now. Isn't that right?
Right, with satellite. So in 26 markets, they had to replace morning men... we're getting Rover from Cleveland, Ohio. Who knows what everybody else is getting? But because of that, I think there's a lot of openings for that type of
Yeah.
Broadcasting.
Well, people have moved from one, like from the evening drive up to middays, and midday guy moved up to the morning slot.
Right, right. So there's a lot of vacancies. But the lovely wife, she said, I was going to get you Sirius Satellite for Christmas, but I was overwhelmed with the options as far as hardware and, you know, all the, do you want to pay by month? Do you want to do the lifetime? So she said, if you figure it out, go ahead and get it if you want it.
Nice.
A guy that I work
with. Let's shop together.
Oh, are you going to get it too?
Oh, yeah. I could add it to the pile of gadgets I have already.
That's hot, man.
I got an iPack. I got my Arcos AV420 multimedia player recorder. I just got a PSP. I got the Sony PSP from Santa, by the way.
That's hot.
Yeah, yeah. So I could talk games now with
Spike
and Rachel.
Yeah. Well, a guy I work with has it. He got it for Christmas. He got the some sports radio for like $169.
Yeah.
It looks pretty good. So he has, for him to make it work, he's got a thing in the car that he mounts it to. And
right.
then that thing has an antenna.
Yeah.
And he can listen to it in his car. Then if he wants to listen to it at work, he's got to take the radio off, bring it in, and put it in a different base in work.
He does not.
Its own antenna.
The subscription allows you to listen online.
See, that's what I wanted to ask him, because I knew XM had that capability. A web
Sirius
client. That's what they call that, John, a web client.
Thanks.
So that's outstanding news. But, you know, where we work, we have the old firewall, the proxy.
We do too, but they're able to listen to it. At least our IT guy does.
Well, that's hot. That right there, that is the one question I had for him. Is a web client available? And if so, then I might do it. If not, I was like, I don't need to hassle with that crap. I'll just get into podcasting. I'll start listening to more podcasts.
Yeah.
And I'll hear about Howard from my friends.
They do have one of the satellite radios. You have to snap it into, there's one for in the house and one for in the car, the cradle.
Right.
But when you take it with you, it's an MP3 player. So it records all the satellite shows that you want.
Oh, that would be good.
And
especially for us when we want to steal stuff.
Right.
And play it here.
But then you'd have both your iPod and your other MP3 player.
Right. I don't mind that. That's not a big deal.
No. You'd have to carry a man purse like I got.
All right. Well, we'll go shopping together.
That's
and
nice.
We'll buy our Sirius satellite radio.
Absolutely.
All right, John. Well, in a related story, I got this off of learnoutloud.com, and they rank the top 10 podcasts of 2005. Now, these aren't the top 10 shows. These are the top 10 podcasts of 2005.
Okay.
Are you with me?
I'm with you.
And a lot of these, I don't know what the hell it is, but maybe you can help me out. Number 10 is Twit.
Oh, yeah.
This what
week
is Twit?
In tech.
This Week in Tech.
Yeah, that's off of the old.
Show number 30. It's got to be show number 30.
What do you mean?
Well, it's This Week in Tech, their show number 30. That's number 10 as far as podcasts of the year.
Oh.
Live from the Portable Media Expo. Twit probably takes the title as Podcast of the Year when you factor in both quality and popularity. There were a lot of good Twit episodes this year, but I'm a bit of a partial to Twit number 30. So if you want to check out Twit number 30, that's their number 10.
Nice.
Number 9, The Catholic Insider at the new Pope's coronation. Whether you're Catholic or not, it's hard not to like Father Roderick Vonnegut. The Catholic Insider podcast gives a unique look at Catholic Church, and Vonnegut's enthusiasm is infectious. So, but they don't give a, they do. When the Pope was coronated, that's number 9.
Yeah.
Number 8, Jason Calcanis on the Web 2.0 podcast.
What?
I don't know what this is. I've never heard it. Apparently, this guy is a riot. Those of you who have heard his keynote at the Portable Media Expo know what I'm talking about. He's both funny and blunt, John, and never lacking for an opinion.
Nice.
His interview on Web 2.0 podcast is a prime example of this. So that's number eight. Number seven, Small World podcast interview of Jessica after Hurricane Katrina.
Check it out.
What?
Yeah, again, I have no idea. None whatsoever. That's number seven.
You don't give a shit.
Number six, this is something I can get into. The Physics of Superheroes on Science Friday.
Nice.
It's almost impossible to pick just one NPR podcast episode because there are so many good ones. But since we're limiting ourselves to one, we decided to select The Physics of Superheroes. An interview with James Kalikos, a professor of physics and astronomy at the University of Minnesota. If you've ever wondered how fast Superman needs to run to leap tall building in a single bound, or the physics behind the controversy over whether Spider-Man, accidentally killed his girlfriend, you'll love this episode.
No.
How would Spider-Man accidentally kill his girlfriend, John?
I don't know.
Okay, that's number six. Number five, DSC.
Oh, with his radioactive sperm.
His Spidey sperm.
911 was so unbelievably good.
Number five, DSC number 200. Wow, 200 podcasts. We're only on number 35, John.
Wow.
Live from Namadex. Gnomadex. I can't create a top 10 list without including at least one episode of the Daily Source Code. Oh, that's what it stands for. The first podcast I ever listened to. Okay, so it's a bunch of tech crap. Okay, number four, Zencast with Vich not Han in Vietnam.
Is it Vich or Vic?
It's Thich.
Oh, Fitch.
Thich, T-H-I-C-H, not Han.
Hey, dude, we just dropped to 16 comedy on Podcast Alley.
One of the best parts of the podcast is the feeling that you are being transported to different places. Okay, so check out Zencast. Now get this, John.
You don't know what you're talking about.
This is one of our favorite podcasts, and it's number three. Are you ready? Mm. Punky, the fuck episode. The only music podcast on our list, produced by Paul B. Edwards and Tony Hearn, this podcast combines comedy, punk rock, and homoerotic banter. The show continues to question Butch Tony's sexuality when Paulie B's sexuality is the one that needs scrutinizing. We all know Butch Tony likes it up the bum. Listening to these two smacktards is a refreshing change of pace that I really enjoyed.
Come on.
Number three, Punky, the fuck episode.
That's great.
Number two, Dignation, the clip show. And this is the best of Dignation, which we enjoy, John. And number one, the Entrepreneurial Thought Leaders podcast with Joel Lemonhart. That's too many goddamn syllables, John. That couldn't be any good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No doubt.
So Punky made it, huh?
Oh, no. Number three, man.
Number three.
The fuck episode. I believe that was episode number 10 for you and me, John.
That's fan-fucking-tastic. Fan,
and if you want to check that out, let me repeat that. I have to, you know, because I throw my papers when I'm done. That is learnoutloud.com. Learnoutloud.com.
Nice.
Top 10 podcasts of the year.
Excellent.
All right, then.
You know, I was reading in the news that there's catchphrases for the year 2005.
Really?
Yeah, it's listed here. On
this is similar to a story we had. Was it last podcast?
From
where
Fox
the
News.
Webster's. Was it Webster's or was the New World Dictionary named podcasting their number one term of the year? Not term, number one word. But you're coming with the terms, my man. The terms, not the words. Because they also had smacktard and they had cock push-ups and they had persistent vegetative state. Okay.
Well, a year can be told in pictures, Scott. This is true. A timeline can help illustrate an annual list of events. But what better way to celebrate a year than to recall the words and catchphrases that passed our lips? Words we never uttered prior to January 1st, 2005. Let's begin with our favorite word of the year, which isn't a word at all. Brangelina.
Brangelina.
Brangelina. As speculation began to swirl around Mr. and Mrs. Smith, co-stars Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie could be pouty-lipped do-gooder. A reason why Brad and Jen broke up? A new word was born. Yes, it pays homage to Bennifer, the doomed union of Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez. So there you have it.
Brangelina.
Brangelina.
That is the term of 2005?
Yeah. Sadly, Vaniston, Vinifer, and Vaniston have not proven as popular.
What about Smacktard?
What the
What about Smacktard? Or cock push-ups?
I don't know. That's not a phrase, but... And they have these, I guess, as phrases.
What about, I'm going to ram my fist into your spine and pull your stomach out.
Move your stomach and rip out your spine. Your damn spine, knucklehead.
What about that?
No,
what about that one?
Tomcat is number two.
What about this one?
Quit your jibber jabber.
Tomcat.
Tomcat.
On the other hand, roll off the tongues of those fascinated by the insta love affair between megastar Tom Cruise and Dawson's Creek. The Holmes.
That's going to end up on the next podcast.
Here's number three, my friend. The couch jump.
The couch jump.
Yeah, many a cliche has been dedicated to the act of falling madly, head over heels in love. You're jumping for joy. Your head is in the clouds. You have butterflies in your stomach. You're seeing stars. But thanks to Tom Cruise's infamous proclamation for his love for Katie Holmes on the Oprah Winfrey Show, jumping on a couch is a new way to show your undying devotion. Roses and jewelry are so 2004.
What do you think was going on there, John? I mean, we've both seen the couch jumping. We've talked about it before.
He's completely stupid.
Well, he's completely stupid, and he's completely insane. But what would motivate him to jump like a retard?
I don't know.
On a couch over a woman? I think, here's what I think. He's gone through this Scientology sex gender affiliation transformation, whatever they call it. Where they try to reprogram you. Okay, we take a homosexual, we make it heterosexual, right? And he must have just graduated that day or something, right?
Yeah,
I don't know. That's what it's got to be.
And they had elected a fellow by the name
I don't know. We'll have to talk to Tony Hearn about that. He could probably help us out with that.
Yeah.
Hey, is that the...
Yeah.
All right, you want me to get that or are you going to get that?
Why don't you get it? I'm busy drinking.
All right, man. Hold on.
Hold on, man. Is this... It's a long. Hey, man.
Why do you sound so close to the mic?
It's really
Here, why don't you walk back, both of you.
Come on. Let's go, Phil. Walk in step.
Same foot. Whoa. What?
Can he bring his girlfriend again?
All right, man. Just who's coming in now?
I don't know. I think that somebody was just peeking in.
Oh. Well, Phil and I were both in the military. That's why we can lockstep,
goose step.
Goose step back.
Get the high
chairs,
stepper.
No doubt.
Well, you know another one, Scott and Phil, was phone rage.
Phone rage?
Yeah, we had road rage and air rage, but simply making a call to one's wife was never considered so stressful a situation. That all changed when Russell Crowe took it upon himself to toss his cell phone at a concierge at a swanky New York hotel. Some even went so far as to call the Gladiator star a Jerkus Maximus.
Jerkus Maximus. No doubt. What do you think about that, Phil?
Well, you kind of caught me off guard. Oh, John, that's funny. Jerkus Maximus. What are you referring to? I'm sorry. I wasn't paying attention.
That's all right, Phyllis. I'm just glad you have your headphones on, you cocksucker. All right, before we get to Phil's news. Oh, and thanks, Phil, for coming by the Christmas party. It was a pleasure to have you there.
Well, the last two are ubersexual and fiancé.
Ubersexual, that took over for metrosexual, right?
I don't know. Perhaps that's why Crowe didn't make the list of the year's top 10 celebrity ubersexuals. The ubersexual who, according to author Marion Salzman, has overtaken, you're right, metrosexual men in the sex appeal department. Might groom himself with expensive products, but he would never, under any circumstances, highlight, wax, or self-tan. Because, you know, I frost.
Right. That's not the same as highlight.
He embraces
frost.
The positive. Yeah, well, at least he grooms.
You're not
you
an
don't.
Uber. You're not an uber sexual man. You're an uber homosexual.
Fuck you. You would know their sharp
with the,
teeth
with the nice sweet faggot yeah. wines you drink and the frosting
yeah,
of your
okay.
hair.
Okay.
Yeah.
You would know their sharp teeth
and all
teeth.
The meat that you have in your mouth when you go out to eat.
At least I shower, you scumbag.
I showered today.
Yeah.
First one of the new year.
First one of the
probably the last one, too.
But fiancé, that has to do with the runaway bride.
Right.
Jennifer Wilbanks, the fiancé. That's kind of funny. I like that.
That is funny.
I like that.
John, I'm fixing to fuck you in the ass.
It's funny.
That is funny. All right, then.
All right, let's go, Phil. You ready to go?
Well, before we get started, just a couple of things. I thank you so much for inviting me to your Christmas party. I had such a good time, and I met so many interesting people. It was just fascinating.
Hey, anytime, man, you know.
And also, before we get the news started, last podcast, I don't know if you remember, it was quite a while ago. Punky, our favorite podcast over in the UK, Punky, had asked me to do a promo clip for them, and I fucked it all up. And I was wondering if I could redo that really quickly before we get into the news, if that would be all right with you.
Why don't we just do it after?
All right, we can do it after that. That's fine.
Because if you fuck it up again...
Right, then we gotta go take two! Understood, John! That's why you're the producer.
All right, here we go.
Your award-winning TTN News, Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Thank you, John. Oh, my first story tonight. Girlfriend tries to swallow phone during argument. A Missouri woman was hospitalized when a cell phone got stuck in her throat, police said. Oh. Officers called at the scene at 5 a.m. Friday, found the 24-year-old woman having trouble breathing. Investigators said the woman was arguing with her boyfriend, and when he asked for the phone, she reportedly tried to swallow it. A family member said the woman is expected to recover. Next story, John.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Scottish scientists are about to get to the bottom of what is important. Does this make my butt look too big? One of the greatest female sartorial dilemmas, does my bum look big in this, is to be answered by a team of researchers, John. Experts are launching what is thought to be the world's first scientific study into how clothing can affect the appearance of the female rear end.
You're naughty.
The team from Harriet Watt University School of Textiles and Design in Scotland believes the study could have major implications for retailers. Female volunteers wearing hundreds of different types of clothing will have their rear ends photographed for the study. Participants will be asked to look at the pictures to assess how big or small each model's backside appears. The study will examine... excuse me. The study will examine how various design colors, patterns, and fabric types affect perception of the buttocks, of the bottom size.
All right, spit it out.
Next story. Al Sharpton turns down sitcom offer from CBS. Oh, pardon me, John. I really should have control of a burp button. I really am a professional. That doesn't happen to me often, but I don't have the equipment to be able to block that up. Let me start that over again, John.
I'm not a pervert.
Al Sharpton turned down sitcom offer for CBS, citing fact that The Amazing Race was already taken. Next story. When do you do when you... let me start over. What do you do when you accidentally kill a friend in an argument? Well, you make him into ravioli and share him with your neighbors, of course. A man from a Russian International Republic, Baratan, in eastern Siberia, has been sentenced to 14 years in prison for cooking the flesh of his friend after killing him during a quarrel. He will serve his sentence at a maximum security prison camp. According to the investigation, Kingis Bubiev
killed a man who had visited him, cut his body into pieces, and used his flesh to cook pelmeni, a Siberian dish resembling ravioli. According to the newspaper, Bebev could not consume all the meat and sold some to his neighbors, saying it was horse meat. The rest of the victim's remains were thrown out near the killer's house, where local residents found them the next day.
God damn.
Next story, John. Islamic judge blames last year's tsunami on women being evil whores.
You fucking dick!
A Shari judge who has ordered the punishment of women for not wearing headscarves was uncompromising, John.
Trying to watch my figure.
The tsunami was because of...
I'm sorry, John. Is that a Chinese woman? Funny.
It is not.
Is that Irene?
It takes me... Can you give me some email abadabasis so I can get into my character?
Is that some Irene?
Irene. That's funny, John. Irene. Could you please give me some email abadabasis so I can get into character, please?
This is... I can't do it.
There you go, John. That's helpful enough.
I can't do it.
The tsunami has become the sins of the people of Aceh. Thundering into the microphone at the gathering of wise, he made clear where he felt the fault lay. The Holy Quran says that if women are good, then the country is good. That's kind of like an Asian.
An Asian German.
Yeah. So, let's just skip that. Oh, my word, John. Do we have a special bulletin? Sound effect. Please, John. I just got this hot off the press. I need a special bulletin. Thank you, John. This just in, John. The woman who tried to swallow her cell phone during an argument with a boyfriend might have done it voluntarily.
What?
The woman. Earlier in the newscast, I mentioned a woman swallowed her cell phone.
Yeah?
This just in, John. The woman who tried to swallow her cell phone during an argument with her boyfriend might not have done it voluntarily.
Oh, I thought you said she did it voluntarily.
A woman who police thought deliberately tried to swallow her cell phone during an argument with her boyfriend has apparently the victim of an assault.
Whoa,
John,
no.
Police have a suspect in the bizarre incident that sent the 24-year-old woman to the hospital last week. Police would not say whether the boyfriend was a suspect and would not explain exactly what they believed happened. It appears she didn't voluntarily swallow this phone. It's not quite the way it was first portrayed. Police were initially told the boyfriend wanted the phone and the woman tried to swallow it on so she could not get it.
Who's going to answer it?
So that is an update, John. Because we're on top of it here at AKC Total Talk Nonsense. Next story. Firm buys Tommy Hilfiger for $1.6 billion.
No.
Vows to continue to make clothes that look ugly and are overpriced.
Yeah, one is all you need.
Next story, John. Elton and David honeymooning in Venice, spending their time going up and down canals.
What? Two of them up your ass.
Do you know who I'm referring to, John?
Yeah.
And you didn't get it, did you?
Let me
read it again.
That's why I pressed
it. Spending their time going up and down canals.
Right. And I went,
put two of them up your ass.
Maybe I should stay out of comedy, John. It's all about timing, and I guess I don't have any. Anyway, this is out of Venice. That's Amore, John. Singer Elton John and hubby David Furnish.
Didn't you like
are honeymooning in Venice. The couple took a water taxi to St. Mark's Square, lunched at Harry's bar, and shopped in the romantic Canal City.
Hard.
Italian news sources report.
Sorry.
Next story, John. Man strips naked, sets fire to clothing, dances around the bonfire, which might not have.
What's funny?
Man strips naked, sets fire to clothing, dances around the bonfire, which might not have alarmed people if he hadn't been in the elevator at the time. Here we go. Another elevator fire story, John. This one about a 22-year-old Kent man who has been charged with first-degree arson for allegedly stripping naked and setting fire to his clothes inside an elevator at the Westin Hotel in downtown Bellevue.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Security officer had to physically restrain Gregor Barty Lynn when they found him naked at 4:30 a.m. on November 13th inside an open elevator in the new hotel at Lincoln Square. Charging paper state.
You told the story before.
This is a copycat, John.
Is it of King Heedley?
King Heedley did it first. This Gregory Barry Lynn
copycat, King Heedley.
And that's the truth.
Police arrived to find the naked man on the floor where the guards had handcuffed him. Get off me, was all he would say in the charging papers state.
Chill out, dickwad.
Next story, John.
Jessica Simpson says the judge in her divorce case is a meanie, and she wants him removed.
I'm 30 myself.
Jessica Simpson is having second thoughts about her divorce from Dick Leachy. She wants the judge assigned to the case removed.
That's right, it stinks!
And that's right! In legal papers filed in Los Angeles on Wednesday, the pop star requested Judge Michael Linfield be replaced because she believes he's biased. Next story, John. And a bit of history here. Lice killed more of Napoleon's army than the Russian winter. Did you know that, John?
No.
Louse-borne diseases such as typhoid and trench fever devastated Napoleon Bonaparte's army during his ill-fated invasion of Russia in 1812, killing nearly one-third of his army. According to a study by French researchers, Napoleon invaded Russia with 500,000 men that summer, but escaped with only a few thousand. 25,000 French soldiers escaped to villainous Lithuania during the retreat, but only 3,000 of them survived. The rest were buried in mass graves and died of a lice-borne disease, John.
That's gay. That's gay. That's gay. That's normal.
That's okay, baby.
I don't understand. What a dumbass douchebag. Dick.
Next story. This is dumb, John. Stealing a car from a pizza stealing a car from a pizza delivery man. It's even dumber calling your buddy to brag about it. It's even more stupid, and it makes it on TTN, when you fail to realize it's not your buddy on the phone, but a cop. Dialing a wrong number landed the Des Moines man in jail. Police said Randy Wessel thought he was calling his buddy.
Des Moines.
It says Des Moines on the paper, John. He was calling his buddy, but he actually called someone else. Wessel then told the person on the other end that he was up to some criminal activity. The person on the other end of the phone was an undercover police officer. Wessel is now charged with theft for stealing a car from a pizza delivery man.
Oops.
Next story, John. Scientists find tiny magnetic particles on cats' wrists with the help them find their way back home. In other news, John, cats have wrists.
What?
Next story.
What?
British woman gets letter from Queen on her 100th birthday, but not even a card from her smack-tard nephew known as Sting. I realize that he's busy being a rock star, she says. The aunt of the rock star Sting got a letter from the Queen on her 100th birthday, but no card from her famous nephew. Rose Sumner, widow of Sting's dad, brother Ernie, celebrated on Wednesday with the family. Meanwhile, the 50-year-old singer was at Elton John's wedding bash, John. Next story. Michael J. Fox shows interest in Back to the Future 4. Details,
what?
However.
Wait a minute.
All right, let me start over. It's all about timing. Michael J. Fox shows interest in Back to the Future 4. Details, however, John, are shaky. Next story.
Stupid ass.
Egyptian man's wedding day ruined when he discovers his burqa-wearing fiance of 3 years is actually a man, John. An Egyptian man discovered on his wedding day that his fiance of 3 years was a man who had been concealing his identity behind a veil. The 26-year-old groom-to-be, Tamar Shatashata, was notified by a female guest attending his wedding that his would-be wife was a man in woman's clothing. When Shatata confronted his fiancée, the latter broke down and revealed that she was actually an 18-year-old man called Ahmed Abu Zayed. Abu Zayed confessed that he had tried several times to undergo a sex change but had failed to secure doctor's approval. The man, whose face was obscured to Shatata by a niqab of face veil, was quoted in the paper as saying that he had intended to tell his husband the truth after they were married, John, and had hoped to convince him to consummate the marriage, if you know what I mean.
Don't run away from your feelings.
He was held for 45 days on charges of swindling and posing as a woman.
Hold me.
Can I stop you there, Phil?
Hold me.
And I really don't like to interrupt Phil's newscast, but could you repeat the last line of that news story?
Well, of course, Scott.
He was held for 45 days on charges of swindling and posing as a woman. All right, Phil. Now, can you imagine, and John, in an Islamic community, if a woman had posed as a man, do you think she'd just get 45 days? No. She'd get her fucking head cut off.
No, she'd probably get some...
Hard fucking?
Maybe, with some cock push-ups. But that's the problem with Islam, John, Islam. In Iraq, is they treat women like second-class citizens.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Phil. I just needed to interject there.
He's on a soapbox.
Well, of course, Scott. As always, you can interject whatever you'd like.
You can inject any beef tube-shaped sausage in Phil's ass.
Oh, and by the way, Scott, thank you for this pen that doesn't work, so I can't take notes. You fuckface. Hey, man, chill out. I got that pen from John.
It's right out of the box.
Cocksucker. It's right out of the box.
You whore.
Oh, yeah, right out of the box.
You cockass.
Next story. Look, Britney Spears sues magazine for $20 million for calling her goofy, leading fans to wonder what that crazy trailer whore will do next. Next story, John. Courtney Love willing to sell Nirvana song catalog for $100 million, which buys quite a bit of crack. Courtney Love is broke, John, and she wants to raise cash by selling her rights to the song catalog of her late husband, Kurt Cobain, and Nirvana. Sources say Love, whose Crosby Street apartment was in foreclosure last year, is looking for $100 million. This should come as salt in the wounds of Nirvana's Dave Grohl, cursed Chris Novoselic, and Champ Channing, who fought with Love for years over the control of songs and over royalties. Love is now slimmed down and supposedly clean, but she still looks like a fat, ugly fucking whore to me, John.
That's
Next
great.
Story. Massachusetts Santa Claus arrested for being ho-ho horny. Again, John. A Massachusetts man arrested for allegedly dropping his pants while dressed as Santa Claus has been arrested again. Raymond High School Principal Michael Shore says people initially thought 52-year-old Richard Milken was looking for his child when he saw him walking around the school on Tuesday morning. Shore said police called the school after Mullen couldn't come up with a name. He was walking around the school with his pants at his ankles, and he pleaded not guilty on Tuesday to charge of criminal trespassing.
Fuckface.
Next story, doctor charged for giving weed killer to patients with cancer. That's weed killer, not killer weed, John. Next story, erectile dysfunction may warn of heart disease onset. Men shrug, just want boners fixed. A message. Oh, all right, I got my stories all mixed up. Hold on. Next story, John. This one, I think, is about someone we know. Man arrested after he was found crawling around in the ceiling of a strip club. A 40-year-old man was arrested and charged after he was found crawling around in the ceiling of a Cocoa Beach strip club, according to police.
What?
Mr. Schmuel, 40, of Rockledge, was being held at the Brevard County Jail for
nice.
$5,000 bond, being arrested over the weekend of burglary and criminal mischief charges. Next story, Milwaukee man attacks another with meat thermometer, screaming, "You're done." A Milwaukee man is hospitalized after being stabbed with a meat thermometer. Police said the man was looking for his girlfriend when he saw her get into the car with another man. He reached into the car, and the driver started stabbing him in the neck, head, and arm, and back with a meat thermometer, according to police. The police said the suspect was still stabbing the victim when they got there and arrested him.
That's fantastic. Is that it?
No, I only have a couple more stories left, John. Oh, next God. Story. Parents say it's okay to poo. To pooze.
To poo.
That's funny, John.
It's okay to poo.
Parents say it's okay to pose semi-nude for high school fundraiser if it's a good cause. A high school fundraiser in Stevenson is raising more than just money, John. The student calendar is raising some eyebrows. Calendar nestled between the Tylenol and wrap bags at the local supermarket is one of the Stevenson's fastest-selling products. Some of the pictures in there are pretty explicit, said one mom. It's the Stevenson High School Boys Calendar. Did you get that? It's the Stevenson High School Boys Calendar. A fundraiser for the seniors' drunk and alcohol-free end-of-the-school-year party. We've gotten a bit of a mix of a feedback. The majority of it has been positive. People think it's hilarious, it's funny, and it's cool, said Mr. December. John Melder said.
Nice.
one of the biggest purchasers of the Stevenson High School boys calendar is Tony Hearn from the UK, who's had over 300 shipments already. Next and last story, John. Scientists make new discoveries about Uranus. Astronomers aided by the Hubble telescope have spied two more rings encircling Uranus, John.
To wipe out the Klingons.
Details will appear online Friday in the journal Science. The discovery announced Tuesday means scientists now believe that Uranus, John, has 13 rings.
Nice. Really?
And that's the news. I'm Phil the Crackhead with Cub with AKC.
Total Dog Nonsense. All right, thanks again, Phil McCracken Whitcomb here on AKC's Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
I'm Scott.
And it's the end of episode 35, part 3.
My pleasure, John.
Heavy metal episode. Really appreciate
it.
Yeah. Get out.
Get up, fool.
Thanks for coming, Phil.
All right. That was great to be here.
Bye now.
Thanks for the invite.
Take care. Okay.
Bye
bye. All right.
That was kind of a lengthy newscast.
Yeah, no shit, man.
Is it because we've been off for 2 weeks?
Wait, listen, listen, listen. He's trying to start his car.
No, 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 no. No, 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 no. No, 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 no.
It's not that cold out tonight.
I know, and I don't know what the problem is. He's always having trouble with his car.
No, 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 no.
Anyway. We're done.
All right, John, that wraps up episode 35.
Yeah, thanks
parts
for listening.
Parts 1, 2, and 3. And we'll try to get this on the web tomorrow. That would be January 2nd, 2006.
Yeah. Happy fucking New Year, everybody.
And Professor Tom, Kinky Sex Radio, will be getting in touch with you via email.
Yeah.
And try to schedule something ASAP.
And thanks to all the other podcasts that listen to our show.
And thanks to all the fans.
And I forgot to mention, I listened to Mediocre Podcast, their latest show.
And?
It's good. It's like ours, you know.
It's like ours?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
The production? It's quality
no,
as yours?
No, they just kind of talk and joke around and stuff. They're pretty funny.
Yeah.
Tattooed guys. You know, they look kind of like American Chopper guys doing a podcast.
Well, I'll have to check them out your recommendation.
The way they look compared to how they sound they don't look like how they sound.
Oh. Did you know what they look like before you heard them?
Yeah, you could see their picture on their website.
Well, what I'm going to do, John, I'm just going to listen to them.
There
right?
you go.
And then I'll come in and I'll tell you what I think they look like.
That's great, man. That's out of sight.
That'll be a fantastic.
And hopefully next week.
Fan-fucking-tastic segment, John.
Hopefully next week we'll hear some more from old Badger Man's bunghole.
No doubt. And I think Lerv's Balls called me.
Really?
Yeah, but I wasn't able to pull it off the phone and bring it in. So
Lerv's Balls.
The Lerv's Balls.
The Lerv's Balls.
Because the Lerv finally went and got castrated, apparently. And the balls were in his mouth at one time. And then when he passed out and fell on the floor, his balls fell out of his mouth. And they've been rolling around Bellevue Mental Institution ever since.
I think we should get them together and have the adventures of the Lerv's Balls in old Badger Man's bunghole. it could be a whole new... We could hook
so
them up.
Here's what we do. We start two separate series, right? Like the old-time radio shows.
Yeah.
And then at some point, they'll probably get together, John.
Right.
Old Badger Man's bunghole and Lerv's Balls.
Right.
Will be in the same room.
In the same room.
And won't that be fantastic? Fan-fucking-tastic.
Lerv's Balls and Old Badger Man's bunghole, right?
Right.
And Lerv's Balls, there's two of them, right?
There are two Lerv's Balls,
two
right.
Two of them up your ass.
That could be the tagline right there.
There's two of Lerv's Balls, and Lerv's Balls talks to Lerv's Rectum. They
really?
Speak, yeah. They're still in communication, yes.
Oh, how could they be?
And Lerv's Dick.
I thought Lerv's Dick was gone.
Well, Lerv's dick and Lerv's balls got separated after the castration.
Ah.
But Lerv's dick was up Lerv's rectum for a short time. And when Lerv's rectum ran into Lerv's balls.
Rectum? He damn near them, killed
yeah,
him.
Yeah, no doubt. And so Lerv's balls has all the latest.
Nice.
I even think that Lerv's balls has a relationship with Lerv's right hand.
Oh, you think?
Yes.
Huh.
So if we
we might have Lerv's right hand call in,
right?
And which is, I don't know how that could happen, but
and Lerv's rectum and Lerv's dick,
yeah.
Who hasn't been seen, he's missing.
That's going to be a lot of work.
All
to
points
get bulletin them all
for
together.
Lerv's dick. Apparently, he's really hard to spot. Lerv's dick.
Because it's hiding in somebody's ass. Well, maybe the old Badger Man's bunghole.
And the other reason is it's so goddamn small. It's hard to...
Right.
It's like looking for a neutron star in the Milky Way.
Oh, Milky Way.
Yes, in the Milky Way.
In the
with
hot yogurt
only
way.
Only a pair of binoculars, John. That's
great.
What it's like.
All right, we got to get out of here, man.
All right, then.
This is John and Scott.
Let's wrap it up.
We're gone.
Episode 35, part 3.
Later.
You're listening to John and Scott on Total Talk Nonsense.
Good times. Good times. Good times. Good times. Good times.
Ready to go?
All right.
From the beginning of time in the history of the world, you and I have always been at war. Freedom, fear, God and the devil. In a common voice, we are joined together. Some say, oh, we must leave poor George alone. But as a saint of our times has said, I don't give a fuck. Give him that baby part. We'll the real R. X, please stand up. 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 My name is R. X. R. X. My name is R. X. R. X.
That's news to me.
In today's world, direct communication is a ticket to success. So tonight I propose a plan to destroy you once and for all. In the next 4 years, I will work with my fellow Americans,
take a request
with the ultimate goal, the total control of your soul. Wield the real R. X, please stand up. Wield the real R. X, please stand up.